May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 254. The fear of the Lord our days will prolong, in trouble afford a confidence strong, will keep us from sinning, will prosper our ways, and is the beginning of wisdom and grace. Hymn 254.
Thank you. together from the Word of God, from the book of Numbers, and reading together from chapter 24. The book of Numbers, reading together from chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honour, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honour. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish for ever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable, and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable, and said, Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish for ever. And Balaam rose up, and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and teach us what to pray. O Lord, we do account it to be a great blessing and a mercy to be found in the ordinance of thy house this morning. And Lord, we do thank thee for thy preserving grace and care upon and towards each one of us, since last we met together in like manner and in thy name. O Lord, we can bear testimony to thy goodness, for thou hast caused all thy goodness to pass before us in the way. And O Lord, what a mercy it is that we can speak of the good hand of our God going out towards us, making a way for us through this barren wilderness here below, where there are many enemies, both on the right hand and on the left, and yet thou hast brought us through many dangers, both seen and unseen, and thus far. And Lord, we would bow our unworthy heads before thee in praise and blessing to thy name for all that thou hast done for us and art still doing in the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, do help us, Lord, that we shall not forget thee, that we shall not forget, Lord, what it did cost thee to bring us unto God the Father, that thou didst, Lord, truly suffer in our room and place at Calvary, that all whom the Father loved eternally should be gathered unto him. And, O Lord, we meet and gather around thy word, and the word which is sent unto us from a God of love in the person and the gospel of his dearly beloved Son. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, Lord, draw near to each one of us at this time, or that our hearts indeed may be drawn out toward thee, but opened up, Lord, to receive, to hear thy word, and to be blessed by it, and that it might be meaningful and purposeful unto us, that we shall not gather together in vain, that we shall not be sent home again empty and void of any real and good thing towards us, but that, Lord, we might seek and desire, Lord, a little spiritual prosperity in our souls. Oh, that thou wouldest draw near, Lord, and that our souls might become rich in the person of Jesus, in his gospel, his word and truth and promises. Lord, we do live upon thy word, and grant that thou wilt grant a living morsel for our poor souls. We are poor, Lord. We are needy, Lord. We are those, Lord, unworthy of the least of all the mercy and the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant, as doth say thy servant Jacob, but also we also, Lord, unworthy. And yet, Lord, it is thy grace that has made us to be poor, and thy grace that has brought us to be dependent and trusting in and upon thee alone. And we come, Lord, we come with nothing in our hands, nothing good of ourselves to plead, nothing, Lord, that we can bear testimony to, Lord, that is of self, anything that we have done, Lord, no, nothing at all, Lord. We are sinful dust and ashes. We are nothing in and of ourselves. Thy grace hath brought us to that place. We are the fools. We are the base. We are the weak. We are those that are nothing at all. But oh, what mercy, Lord, it is those that thou dost look upon, those whom thou hast drawn to thyself, to feel a need of thee, as we do now, Lord. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto each one of us. Oh, empty us, Lord, of everything, Lord, that is of self and the creature of this world and all its cares at this time. Oh, bring us, Lord, to seek thy face. And Lord, the blessedness of the word of thy truth and grace in our hearts. Oh, Lord, may it be that thou wilt come to each of our needs at this time. Lord, may we feel our own helplessness before thee, Lord, that we might feel thee and know thee to be our all and everything. Remove all indifference from us, Lord, as we approach unto thee. Remove all barriers, Lord, that would come between, that would separate. Oh, Lord, come by and through thy Spirit and visit our souls with thy salvation. Oh, the mercy, Lord, that thou dost lift up the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill, and to raise them up among princes, Lord. Bring us to that place, Lord. Revive and restore our poor souls. Bring us near to thyself, Lord Jesus, and help us at this time to live upon thee by our faith, and seek, Lord, that as we are found at thy feet, that thou wilt come, do something for us internally, spiritually, for our souls, to feed our souls upon Christ, that true bread that came down from heaven, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray that our poor souls may truly be entertained by and through thy grace. Oh, sustain us inwardly and spiritually, Lord. Bring us, Lord, into the blessings of a covenant God, the doctrines of free grace, the offices and characters of Christ, all our needs to be met in and through the Lord Jesus and his gospel. Lord, we come with all those needs, that differing and varying are the conditions, the souls of thy people at this time. But Lord, we do pray, appear unto each one and bless each, Lord, with some witness and evidence this day that they've been with Jesus. O Lord, may it not be an empty day, a day vacant, Lord, but a day, Lord, of possession, a day, Lord, of substance, a day, Lord, of reality and truth, a day living upon the gospel of Jesus. And, O Lord, we do pray that thy word indeed then may be that that shall fall upon that prepared ground, or that heart prepared by and through thy Spirit to seek and to worship thee. And, Lord, that there may be fruits that we may bear unto righteousness. A precious Christ revealed, bring our poor souls into the joy and the blessings of a full and free salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us again and again to see, Lord, whence cometh our great salvation. Oh, through thy cross, Lord, the cross at Calvary, and, Lord, the blessedness and the truth, that we might again know the blessing, Lord, that we are those sustained, kept and preserved through thy blood and righteousness. No other balm, no other blessing, no other comfort to our souls, but what thou alone hast done for us at Calvary's tree. And, Lord, all that is able to bear us up and to support us through all our journey here below, through all our trials and difficulties and afflictions, our tribulations, O Lord, that precious blood and righteousness indeed is able to support us, able to strengthen us inwardly and spiritually, able, Lord, to overcome all our enemies, able to bring us through our course here below, and able, Lord, to bring comfort and peace and rest to our souls. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done for us at Calvary's tree. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that at this time, that we might know, Lord, the blessings of the gospel as they are all emitted to us by and through the cross. Lord, undertake for us then, and be with each one of us, each one that have come to the means of grace this morning. Lord, we do pray, draw near, both to young and old together. Lord, we pray that the purposes of thy grace may be fulfilled in us at this time, that we may be blessed with a true seeking frame of heart and mind. And, Lord, we do pray that this gathering may be so favoured, so blessed, Lord, with thy presence, with thy help, thy Spirit. And, Lord, what a gathering it shall be. Lord, if thou art present, oh, this gathering will be complete. It will be whole. It will be a gathering of life, a gathering, Lord, of peace and blessedness, a gathering of joy and rejoicing. So come, Lord, and undertake our whole cause and interest here below. Keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee. Help us, Lord, as we are pilgrims here below, to cast all our care upon thee, for thou carest for us. Help us to walk in the fear of the Lord. Oh, we have sung that hymn together. Oh, Lord, we do pray that the spirit and the truth that was in that hymn, oh, that it may be that that shall abound unto each one of us, that fear of the Lord to keep us in the way of truth and grace, that fear of the Lord to keep us from departing from thee, that fear of the Lord which is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. So, Lord, come to us. We pray, help us to continue in thy name. Be with thy people that gather here week by week here. Receive all the prayers and the petitions of the saints. Oh, through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, oh, that they may be those prayers, a sweet smell of an odour before God the Father. Answer, Lord, to all their needs, we pray. We pray for the young, Lord, the babe in arms. Oh, Lord, may it be that their visitation's here. Oh, that it may, Lord, be that secret influence upon them to draw them to thyself, Lord, that they may not only be the children of parents, but the children of God. Oh, that greater blessing. We pray for them, Lord. And so, be with us now. We pray that thy gospel grace may go forth throughout this land of ours. And Lord, to those that gather together in thy name, and we particularly think of our denomination, Lord. Oh, do dwell with them and in the midst. And some, Lord, just twos and threes that gather. Let thy presence be known and felt. And undertake for them, Lord. And we pray for each of thy sent servants that stand forth upon the walls of Zion this day. Do draw near to them, Lord. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom for them. Help them, Lord, to stand forth in thy name. And, Lord, that they might proclaim thine everlasting gospel, the words of peace and truth and life to poor needy sinners, to sustain them through all their pilgrimage journey. Meet their needs, Lord. Use them as instruments of usefulness in thy hand. Be with thy servant, Lord. Help him that he might speak in thy name and the unsearchable riches of Christ. Teach him by thy Spirit the word that thou wilt have him to say. Lord, let it be thy word. Oh, let it be a word in season to the souls of thy people. Let it be a warning, Lord. Let it be a correction, Lord. Let it be a word, Lord, to bring peace and joy to the soul. We pray, Lord, dwell with us and in the midst. And we ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, reading together from verse 17. The book of Numbers, chapter 24, reading together from verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Children of Israel in their journeying towards the borders of Moab, that the Lord had caused Israel to pass through enemies. He smote them and overcame them, and that the children of Israel now were on the borders of Moab. Moab feared greatly. They trembled. They trembled because of the God of Israel that was amongst his people, that preserved them, kept them, but brought them through their journeying and through all their enemies, those that stood in the way of them. They came to the borders of Moab, and they trembled. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. The children of Israel had destroyed them. It was their God. It was in the midst of them, who fought for them, who made a way for them. And now Moab was distressed and troubled. And Balak, king of Moab, consulted with Balaam. Balaam was a soothsayer. It appeared that he was a man of reputation. One whom Balak thought may be able to subdue the children of Israel and to bring curses upon them and not blessings. These soothsayers. They had the ability and the capability at times of being able to fulfill those things that they prophesied, those things that they spake of by schemes and devices, these soothsayers, to give them a name amongst the people, and by craft and deceit were able to fulfill the things that they prophesied of. And such was Balaam. But he had a knowledge of the Lord God. Balaam had a knowledge of the Lord God. You know, all the heathen nations round about the children of Israel had a knowledge of God. They feared the God of Israel. They trembled. They knew the great miracles that he had done and wrought in Egypt, and their deliverance by the power of his arm to bring them out of Egypt. Rahab the harlot spake to the two spies and declared that truth that the hearts of the people fainted within them because of the God that was in the midst of his people. And so they had a knowledge of God. And this brings us to the words of our text, and particularly one or two thoughts in respect of Balaam. And I pray that the Lord may reveal to us and show to us the solemn place and position that Balaam was in. He was in an awful place as he stood before God. And my prayer is that it shall not be the place of any that are here, the place of Balaam. I shall see him, but not now. He spake the word that God gave him to speak. He showed him great revelations, words in prophecy that were to be fulfilled and come to pass, and they were, as we shall understand it in a moment. The Lord spake through this man, who inwardly and spiritually was dead. Dead. But the Lord used him to bless his people Israel. And to such an extent that Balaam, oh, he desired the blessings of Israel for himself. He understood many things in respect of the children of Israel. It was his desire that he should die the death of the righteous. Oh, that was the desire of Balaam. Oh, there was something special about the children of Israel, the death of the righteous, the blessing that was attached to that, the eternal blessing. But one thing that Balaam had to do, and he could not be removed from it, and that is that he had received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He knew that. The extent of his knowledge was this. He knew about God. He didn't know of God. There is such a vast difference. I met with quite a few in my experiences at my workplace many years ago. One or two in particular, they knew about God, but they didn't know what it was to be found of God. Oh, there is such a vast difference, dear friends, just to know about God. Yes, I came into contact with those that truly believed in God and were willing to argue the point vigorously. But dear me, friends, the walk and the manner and the conduct of their lives were such a contradiction to those things that they spoke about. It wasn't consistent with the word of the Lord. They merely knew about God, did not bear the witness and the testimony of the love of God in their souls. And dear friends, that kind of knowledge will avail nothing. It is being a partaker. Now, the Lord will just show me this word, I shall see him. And that is a truth in respect of Balaam. He shall see him. He shall behold him. When every eye shall see him. As the book of the Revelation informs us. Every eye shall see him. When will Balaam see him? He will see him as his judge. He will see him. We will all see him. He is coming again. And we shall all see him. Every single soul that has been born into this world from the beginning of time until the end of time shall see him. Balaam spoke this word. God put it into his heart, dear friends. I shall see him, but not now, not in this life, not in the life that he lived. And that is terrible. He will never see him by a living faith as his Saviour. No. He's spoken a word that has testified against him, condemned him. I shall see him, but not now, not in this life. But I shall see him when he shall come again. Dear friends, may the Lord apply this to our souls. The important truth of this, that we shall see him in these our lives here below. Let it be the prayer of each one of us now, that he will reveal himself to us, a knowledge of himself, the love and mercy of God in Jesus, the salvation of our souls. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Oh, dear friends, never to draw near to God. Never to know his love and mercy. No, not nigh. Not near him. Never to come near to him. But shall behold him, a knowledge of him, merely a bare knowledge of him, natural, if you like. I shall behold him, but not nigh. You will never know and realize a felt nearness of God to him. But it is so important to us that we might know God in his love and mercy. Thought of one or two things in respect of this. In Deuteronomy, I thought of this word just this morning, driving, or early this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7, we have a truth. I just remembered speaking from it many years ago. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them? So nigh unto them. You see, Balaam never knew this. but not nigh, not near, not near at hand. Never to know a God near at hand, you see. Oh, a life, dear friends, without God, without his mercy, without his love. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? How is it, dear friends, that God is so nigh unto his people, so near to them, and they feel it, a nearness unto him? His presence, his word, isn't it here where we're so nigh unto God? But isn't there another precious truth? A truth that just brought to consider in respect of this. There was that time when we were so far from God. Our hearts were in the world, separated, aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of grace, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, isn't that the blessing? To know our God, that he is a God of love, a God of mercy. Where is it seen, dear friends? This solemn truth that Balaam spake, shall behold him but not nigh. Dear friends, to be brought near to God, the family of his grace, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, that blood that he shed, that blood that healed us from all the wounds of sin that was in us, that blood that reconciled us unto God the Father, that blood that brought peace and blessing to our souls, that blood where we can say that God is a God of love, a God of mercy. And he is, dear friends, to his people. I thought of something else. What if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What is important to us today? What is important to us as we come to the Lord's house? Is it our souls, dear friends? Our never dying and immortal soul that must live and forever. We spoke a little last week of the differences, a little, between that poor man Lazarus and that rich man who fared sumptuously. What was the solemn truth in respect of that rich man? He had the world, didn't he? He had all that he needed. And more beside, probably. He probably wanted for nothing. But oh, the solemn truth, they both died. What was the difference when they both died? This was the truth, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a type of heaven. That was the blessing that belonged to poor Lazarus. But what was the solemn truth in respect of the rich man? The same portion as Balaam, dear friends. The same portion as Balaam. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. In hell. And friends, the word informs us that he was in torment. Or the solemn place of Balaam. In torment. And friends, it is an everlasting torment. It will never be any different for him. An eternity of torment. What if he should gain the whole world? This was the portion of Balaam. I've been interested in a text this week, but I remembered that it seemed to contain some words that have some respect to the words that we're speaking of in Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 8. We have this truth. It was a time in the period when those that were delivered into captivity by the Chaldeans, they would be kept and preserved alive. But those, dear friends, who didn't comply and remained in the city, they would die. In Jeremiah 21 and verse 8, we have this truth. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And the spiritual application of that, dear friends, is this, that the way of life is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way of death, dear friends, the solemn truth of Balaam, and it is the way of sin and Satan, the way of this world, that is the way of death. And this has an application to these words we have in respect of Balaam, clearly shown to us, the way of death. And then we have before us and set before us the blessing and the truth of the following words of our text, the way of life. Just wanted to mention before we just move on this truth. The Lord also used Judas. He was raised up to be one of his disciples. And the Lord Jesus sent him out to preach his gospel. And the Lord gave him words to say. He gave him power to heal sicknesses and to deliver from devils and so forth. He gave him that power. But the solemn truth in respect of Judas was this. As the Lord gave him his word to preach his gospel, he was never that one indeed who received and was blessed in that word that he spoke. No, that is a truth. He never saw the grace and the love of Jesus. He was void of it. And yet the Lord used him, an instrument in his hand. And I just say this before I continue. Friends, when we hear the word, pray for the substance of it and the reality of it. Pray for the grace and the truth that is in it, through His Spirit, that it might be a living portion in thy soul. I pray for it as I preach it. I just think of that word in, I believe it's, if I can just find it. But it was the desire of Paul that he also would be blessed with the word of the Lord, that he should not be left an outcast. The word that he spoke and the word that he preached, he wanted the blessing in his own soul as well, lest he should be an outcast. I need the word. We all need his word. May the Lord apply it to us, because this is the truth and the blessing. It will be the difference between Balaam, the way of death, and then the words now in our text to follow, the way of life. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. A star amongst the Jews, and well known, in their contemplations of the way that they saw and beheld things that were natural and applying them to a spiritual. A star was looked upon and seen as one who was a prince. And I do believe that this truly is the blessing here shown to us. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Out of Jacob, this is the promise. Here are the words of a covenant God. Out of Jacob. What was the truth that was blessed to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob? I will say it in respect of Jacob. Because this is the truth of the word in our text. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. One seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the blessing, the words of our text. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And the Lord Jesus has shown to us the truth and the blessing of this star. You know, a star, we may have seen the stars in the sky, how bright, how glistening, how shining they are. A star. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ doth inform us in the book of the Revelation, and where he speaks in that last chapter, chapter 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you the these things in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. It is this bright and this morning star that does shine so brightly its beams. It is Jesus and his gospel. And what is the truth and the blessing of this gospel? I believe that it is this truth. Peter writing, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now this is the truth, as to a light that shineth in a dark place. Not just this world, a dark place, an evil place, but the heart, dear friends, by nature, the heart, a dark place. But oh, to be brought to the knowledge of it. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, this is what we want, dear friends. This star, the blessings of the Lord Jesus to shine forth into our hearts. It is in his gospel. It is in all that Jesus came to do for sinners. It is here that there is life. John spake of that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the star, the light of men. And friends, we want this light to beam forth into our poor souls. We want the blessings of Christ and his cross to be opened up to us. And friends, if this light of the gospel will shine into our poor souls and show unto us the darkness that is in our hearts, it will bring us to feel a need of him, because it will reveal all the manner of sin and the evil that is in us by nature. That is what this light will do. This life is the light of men. What a mercy, this life of Jesus, the life that he came to live and the life that he came to lay down for his people. There is the light, dear friends, as it shines through the cross. And what a mercy it is that the Spirit of the Lord will shine forth into our hearts and reveal to us our need of him. One to come and save us, to redeem us from our sins and iniquities. Now, dear friends, the next portion, I think, will be the blessing, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. One who shall come and rule and reign, a scepter, a prince, dear friends, a prince and a saviour. He is exalted to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. He is the Prince of Peace, dear friends, Jesus. Then the truth of the scriptures would be fulfilled in the blessing that Jacob gave to Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh dear friends, this gathering, this is the gospel, Shiloh, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, till Shiloh come. Oh, the blessedness of this full and free salvation given to sinners, the most undeserving of wretches, to come into the blessings of this great salvation. This is what God has provided in the person of his dearly beloved Son. And then the confirmation and the truth being made nigh unto God. It is through Jesus. I think of the hymn 126, I believe it is. And the truth shown to us in respect of this Prince of Peace. I'll speak the honours of my King, his form divinely fair. None of the sons of mortal race may with the Lord compare. Gird on thy sword, victorious prince, ride with majestic sway. Thy terror shall strike through thy foes and make the world obey. Thy throne, O God, forever stands. The word of grace shall prove a peaceful scepter in thy hands to rule thy saints with love. Wonderful hymn that. And Jesus, he did go forth at Calvary, conquering and to conquer. He conquered, dear friends, all the enemies of the church. World, flesh, sin, death, hell, devil and the grave. Jesus conquered and overcome. He gained the conquest. For who? For the sinner, dear friends. The sinner. Those brought to feel their need of him. Those whom this light, this star beamed forth into the heart, revealed all the awfulness of sin, the corruptions of the heart. But this prince and a saviour for to give repentance, what a mercy it is to be one coming to Christ for mercy, and then blessed with this precious gift of repentance. Yes, it's a submission, dear friends, to the Lord. In helplessness and weakness, but in hope, in his blood and righteousness, which is able to heal and to cleanse from all sin and defilement. A star out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This word has been fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus. But we want it to be fulfilled in our poor souls, dear friends. And when I shall see him, but not now, I shall behold him. This life, dear friends, the life that he has given to us, let it be a life, dear friends, brought humbly before our God, brought to feel our need as sinners, our need of him to save us and to redeem us and to bring us to himself. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And we're living in a day of grace today. This star still beams forth. The light of the gospel doth still shine forth, preached every Lord's day here. Isn't it a precious Christ in the gospel? Is there an indifference upon our spirit? Or is there a deep concern upon our spirit? We just made brief mention last week. Our days are short upon the earth, and we do not know what a day may bring forth. But let this truth be a blessing. What if we should gain the whole world and lose our own soul? You know, Balaam had a reputation. That's what he had. He had a reputation amongst men. Dear friends, that would be no good. No good at all. Let us be nothing, that Christ may be all and everything. Not what this world has. Not anything that we can seek and obtain in this world. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The vanity of all things. But may this be the blessing. Paul counted all things but dung. Why? That he might win Christ. That he might win Christ. Yes, we have to live here below. We have to do those things lawful, necessary for us to do. But friends, let us put our souls at the top of the list, dear friends, and our salvation in Jesus. Let it be at the top of the list. Priority. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Jesus and him crucified, let him be first in our poor hearts and in our poor minds, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Well, David is here also spoken of, and remember that he was also one that was raised up and anointed to be a king over Israel. And this word came to pass, and shall smite the corners of Moab. It came to pass in the 2nd of Samuel, when indeed David, in the 8th chapter of the 2nd of Samuel, and in verse 2, and he smote Moab, and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. It came to pass. And dear friends, the word of the Lord will come to pass. It will never fail. You know, Balaam gave a commandment to bless. He couldn't reverse it. He couldn't change it. No. Well, David did overcome Moab ultimately. Some were put to death, some were held captive and paid tribute, as it were, to David and to Israel. And then we have this latter portion, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This word Sheth is also the same as Seth. And we know that Seth was the son that was born to Adam and to Eve following the death of Abel. This was Seth. And we see the line now of Seth that followed through Noah after the flood, through Noah. This is the line of Seth. And it is a type here of the earth or the world. This Seth, and destroy all the children of Seth. But what about this word destroy? Destroy all of the children of the world, all men, all that are born into the world. Destroy. This word destroy isn't what it appears to be, dear friends. It means subdue. And subdue all the children of Sheth or Seth. And you see, Jesus is raised up to be a prince and a saviour. And he is a prince over all the kings of the earth. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, it is clearly shown to us in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, this is Jesus, prince of the kings of the earth. He raised up now, all power and dominion and government is in his hand over all kingdoms of the earth, all men of the earth, all peoples of the earth. Jesus rules, the prince over all the kings. He rules and reigns. Government is upon his shoulder. There is nothing, friends, coming to pass today, but that it is according to the purposes and the counsels of Jesus. Yes, all government and rule was given into his hand. But there is a word, dear friends, here. And subdue all the children of Sheth in all the earth. I just thought this word is so deeply connected, I think, with this word. In Zechariah chapter 13, we have this truth. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, Balaam couldn't say that, dear friends. Balaam couldn't say that. But, dear friends, I hope and pray that each one of us here will be able to say it. The third part, it might be, dear friends, the unbelieving world, and it might be the so-called professing world. The professing church today. Those who are termed as Christians. The church of our land. Oh, what a sad place it is in today. But oh, the third part here shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. And will, and will, and will. And will, that is the term of this word, what the Lord will do. Dear friends, oh, let us pray to be one of the company of this third part, this remnant, a people whom God has separated for himself, to be his people, and that our poor souls might delight in him and be blessed under his favour and his mercy and his goodness. Isn't that what we want, dear friends? Isn't this why we've come to the Lord's house this morning, dear friends? That the Lord God will look upon us in his mercy and grace, and that we might feel our need of him and draw near to him, and that he is our portion, and we seek tokens of his love and mercy for our poor souls to keep us in the way and subdue all the children of Sheth. What a mercy it is, dear friends, if the Lord will subdue any one of us, that we should be found at his feet, yes, and prostrate, begging and suing for his mercy, subdued under his mighty hand, and brought, dear friends, to feel a need of Jesus and his blood and righteousness to cleanse us and to heal us, to bring us unto God the Father. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £625, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £846, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Ashby is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jabez Rutt will come if he is able, and if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn number 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Wealth and honour I disdain, earthly comforts, Lord, are vain. These can never satisfy, give me Christ, or else I die. We'll commence to sing at verse 3, hymn 737.
Give me Christ, or else I die. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.